Hello, and welcome to Returning to Us, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to hack your brain, build and strengthen relationships, and to teach people how to recognize and neutralize their emotional states. I'll discuss emotional intelligence and regulation, how food and exercise impact the body and brain, and share lessons from my own lived experiences. I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer, the founder of the Behavior Hub, which is an organization that works to reduce the stressors of raising and educating children through a brain and biology-based lens. In these episodes, I'll share stories and strategies from my own life, work, and research, answer listener questions, and wrap it up with a try-at-home tip. Decades worth of information in just minutes. You ready? Back to our mini series on micro practices that you can embed into your daily life. We've been talking about body, mind, soul, really spirit, and these 1 to 5 minute routines that you can integrate into almost any part of your day. And why this series? Because so many people are so stretched thin. They, especially as I gear this work a little bit more towards parents and educators, there's just not time, or there is time, but we don't create it, or the time is consumed by something else. So like, how can I inch towards healthy, but not take a giant leap? Because a giant leap isn't sustainable, but a micro practice is. I think of a quote, I think it's Jim Quick, at least I read it in his book, I think. Inch by inch, it's a cinch. Yard by yard, far too hard. So the big leaps aren't sustainable. The little time, and that's not to say that there aren't outliers that don't make big leaps, that they are sustainable, but for most of us, we need little tiny micro practices that get us moving in the right direction, gets the momentum flowing in that direction, and then it's much easier to get there. When you're in a survival state, you cannot go from survival to thriving yesterday, today, or today, tomorrow. It takes little bits, little doses, the inches, and you move towards reviving yourself, and then you're striving to get to that thrive state, and then you find maintenance, and you find that thrive state. So micro practices. I've done mostly workout based. I'm gonna do like one or two more workout based, and then we'll switch to maybe mind or spirit, and then maybe come back around to some workout options. But today I want to talk about, you know, I think I gave you three or four workouts so far. I wanted to work through workouts you can do in 5 minutes, and a progression of like how to make them harder, how to modify them. This particular 5 minute workout series is, if you've done the other ones or you feel like your workout routines are, you're like a level up, this is the next level. Doesn't mean if you're not here, you couldn't try this, but it's definitely a little bit harder. Why? Because it's HIIT based. So if you're familiar with HIIT style workouts, they are high intensity interval training. Basically, you do something for like a minute or so, pretty fast, nonstop, gets your heart rate pumping, and then you rest for a little bit of time and you keep going. Same thing, repeat. So for this particular HIIT-based workout, I'm going to give you the workout, but I want to talk to you about the additional benefits other than just like moving your body and chemicals that start floating through your system that help you to sleep better and feel better and improve your mental health. This particular style of workout, HIIT workouts, have a dual advantage. Cardiovascular health boost. They help you to improve your cardiovascular health. Why? Because you're moving really fast for a whole minute or plus, and like a heart rate up. So body likes that. Not all the time, but small doses, yes. So you're working kind of harder instead of longer. I think about this when I strength train. There's kind of two styles of strength training. One, you can lift heavy and do less reps, and that builds some bigger muscle. Or the type of strength training that I really prefer is a little bit less weight, but more reps. So you can kind of go one or the other, work, you know, longer or work harder. I like to work a little bit longer. And sometimes I will add in the more heavy weight, low rep, but it depends on kind of what you're aiming for. So the one thing to kind of keep in mind here is these workouts typically are better for people who are younger, because often, but not always. Younger people are in a better state of health. People that have heart problems or any other type of like cardiovascular related issue, this could be challenging for them, and this could cause their body some stress. They might need to work up to this. They couldn't do it, but definitely check with your doctor. Always check with your doctor, and make this maybe a goal you work towards. But sometimes older humans are more prone to or more likely to have something like heart disease. So better style of workout for a younger being. But there are lots of people that I know that are in their like 70s who do HIIT workouts. So doesn't mean you can't do it. Okay, let's get to the freaking workout. Burpees. I don't know if you all have ever done a burpee. Most people are like, oh, burpees. It's your mindset. I like burpees. If you hate burpees because your mind tells you hate burpees, well, then you hate burpees, but you can learn to love burpees. So, what is the burpee? All right, you are standing up. You basically jump up in the air. So, your hands go up in the air and you jump up in the air. So, it's up and then you come back down. And then your hands go on the ground and you are with your hands on the ground and your knees bent. And you kind of kick your legs back into a plank position. And then you jump your legs back in and then you jump back up again. So, it's kind of like up in the air, hands up, jump down to the ground, feet back, jump, and you just keep going up and down. If you really want to like level it up, when you're in that plank position down on the floor, you could do a push-up. Sometimes when I'm feeling really bold and really want that extra kick, I will do that. Okay, so burpees. Then you can do shoulder taps. So shoulder taps are just on the floor in that plank position. So when you're in a plank position, you aren't familiar, you are hands kind of shoulder width apart, and your feet are straight back, and your body is in like a position of like a ramp. And you want to make sure that your hips aren't sinking, but your hips aren't up too high. If you can view it in a mirror, or have someone take a photo of yourself, making sure that your core is engaged and that your body is like in a straight line, because that means it's not putting extra pressure on your shoulders or your back or somewhere where you don't want it to be, which would then cause injury. Perfect example of this is like, I'm young. My mother's not as young as me. One holiday season, I was like, let's get up on Christmas morning and do a HIIT workout. And she's like, probably in her early 60s at that point. I'm like probably not even 30. And I have her doing these crazy hit things in our house, and she has like a partial, like she basically like tears part of her rotator cuff because I have her doing like burpees and mountain climbers and shoulder taps. And I was like, okay, maybe that was good for me, but not for her. Or she could have worked towards that, but it wasn't the right time for her to do that. So injury. Okay. Sidebar, tangent, burpees. Shoulder taps. In order to do shoulder taps, you're in this plank position. So you got the position right now. When you're in this plank position, you just lift one arm and tap your shoulder, put your arm back down, take the other arm, tap your shoulder back down, and just keep lifting one arm. So you're balancing your weight on one arm. That's shoulder tap. Squat jumps. That is what it says it is. You squat down and your thighs are parallel to the ground, and then you use your muscles to push up and jump up in the air. How you do, like how I typically do this is when I go down, I kind of like lift my arms up in front of me and just let my hands dangle. And I go down to a squat. And then my hands kind of come up like towards my mouth, sort of like I'm almost like I'm ready to throw a football. And my hands are up there and I'm down in my squat position. When I take off from my squat position into a jump, I take my hands and I kind of fly them back, almost like I'm literally flying into the air. That is the position that I like to go into. Squat jumps, mountain climbers. You're back in that plank position again. This time, instead of tapping your shoulders, all you are doing is you are taking one foot at a time and bringing it basically up to your elbow. So you can either bring it up, like if I'm taking my right arm, my right leg, my right knee, I can bring my knee up to my right elbow. I want a little bit more of a challenge. I can bring my right knee up to my left elbow, and then it goes back. And then you bring your left leg up to whichever elbow it is. And you kind of alternate between your legs coming up to your elbows, and you go pretty quick. The point of all of these, the squat jumps, the mountain climbers, the shoulder taps, the burpees, is it's not this slow, methodical movement. HIIT cardiovascular health, like fast. Okay, so with this one, instead of five different exercises, only four. And that's because you're doing each one for a minute. And a minute is kind of long when you do these things. And then you rest for 15 seconds. So you do burpees 1 minute long, take a 15 second rec, rep, rec. I want to say break and rest. And I said rec. You do burpees for 1 minute and then you take a 15 second break or rest. And then you do shoulder taps for a minute and then you take a 15 second break and then you do squats and then break and then mountain climbers and then you're done. If you have more than 5 minutes, you could do a second round or maybe a third round. But the point is to try and do a minute. If you're not at the point where you can do a whole minute, but you're like, I want a cardiovascular based workout and I want a little bit more of a push, just do 30 seconds, work yourself up to a minute. There's really no right or wrong with these things. I think that's part of the problem is like we don't get started because we are feeling like, well, I don't know how to do this, or I am going to do this wrong, or I don't, want to mess it up, or I don't even know where to start. You can hire help and hire a coach, or get a gym buddy or have a workout buddy or whatever it is. But just movement, just move your body. It doesn't necessarily matter if you're doing it right or wrong, or is there right or is there wrong? And there is when it's body position. Like you want to make sure you don't hurt your body, but don't fear that, like, oh, I can't do it over a minute, so I just shouldn't do it. No, just modify it down to what you can do. Something is better than nothing. All right, I digress. Today's listener question. How do I heal my nervous system? Wow, what a that's a hard one. Hard one to answer in like a couple of seconds. Healing your nervous system is like a whole process. And I guess it depends on how long has your nervous system been unhealed? Because the longer it has been unhealed, the more you are conditioned to live in that not so great health of system. So the point here is anyone can kind of revive the system and heal it. You have to become aware that it is not in the state you want it to be. So that's step one. So if you're asking this question, you are in that state. Step two is being realistic about it takes work, it takes energy, it takes consistency, it takes time. And there are lots of things that you can do to improve your nervous system health. And when I say nervous system, like nervous system dysregulation looks like there's a whole episode, there are many episodes I've done on the nervous system. I typically talk about this thing called the window of tolerance, which is basically like a three-part system. In the middle of that system, you have what you call your window of tolerance. How much can you tolerate before you either go up in energy or you go down? So when you go up, you're like, you're tense, you're tight, more prone to anger. If you go down, you're more like disconnected, dissociative, lack of emotion, socially withdrawn. So you would typically, you'll have a dysregulated nervous system if you go up or down. Now, going into either of those zones, up or down, isn't necessarily bad. It's biological. We need it to survive. Like if we are going to be attacked by someone, we certainly want our nervous system to jump up into the top and run away. That's good. That saves us. The problem is a lot of things in our lives are sending us up or down, and we're getting stuck in those zones. So that's when your nervous system becomes dysregulated and remains dysregulated. And do that frequently enough or experience that frequently enough, aka trauma or chronic stress, then you get kind of lodged in that space. And you might come out of it, but you're quicker to go back into it. So you just, it's a cycle, not a good cycle. Okay, so the first step is be aware that you have left that central zone, that window of tolerance. Be mindful and aware. And there are body signs that will tell you this. Like for me, I go up almost always. And I can tell because my chest is tight. I can't think clearly. I'm like, can't concentrate. So begin to recognize things in your body that tell you I'm not feeling the way I desire to feel right now. Step two is okay, I've stepped into awareness. Okay, now what do I do to get back into the window of tolerance? What is a coping mechanism? What's a calming mechanism? What's something I can do? For me, I prefer if I can to get outside, even if it's walking out my porch and just taking like three big deep breaths. If I can get into nature, even better. If I can't do that, maybe I'll do like 10 push-ups. If I can't do that, I'll just slug a bunch of water. Like trying to choose something that gets you back into that neutralized zone. Here's where a lot of people go wrong. They are in awareness that they don't feel good and they choose a maladaptive coping mechanism like drinking alcohol or overeating snacks or just like emotionally bombing or like word vomiting on someone, all the things that are going on in their lives. Like find something that's healthy, a way to release to get yourself back into that window of tolerance. If you feel like you don't know what those things are, there are lots of resources. There are courses, there are books, there are podcasts, there are coaches, there are therapists. Find someone or something that helps you to understand what gets you back into your window of tolerance. So that's great because you've now stepped into awareness and you've recognized that you left the window of tolerance and you're getting yourself back. That's like step one. That's amazing. That's a huge step to get out of survival state. But we also want to work preventatively. We also want to put things in place that we stop leaving the window of tolerance. So similar based practices, but you just use them before you need them. So for me, like if I step out on the porch and I take three big breaths because I'm feeling overwhelmed, that's great. I get back in my window of tolerance. But I want to stop myself from ever leaving the window of tolerance in the first place. So now I'm going to institute 5 times a day. I'm going to set a timer on my phone or an alarm or an alert or put a sticky note up or whatever I'm going to do. Before I even feel overwhelmed, I'm going to go out and step out and take three big breaths on the porch. And that keeps me from ever leaving my window of tolerance. So reactive first, typically to get yourself out of survival, but then work towards preventative sports. And all of these things together collectively inch you up this kind of healing scale. So Five Ives, the business I created with my partner, Jessica Doering, we take people out of survival state. And we move them into revive. That's where we're teaching the coping mechanisms. Then we take them from revive into strive. So let's start to plan to be more preventative. And then we go into thrive. And thrive is when you are using those preventative strategies regularly and you are maintaining and you're feeling really good. Okay, so that's your nervous system and window of tolerance in a nutshell. To wrap up the show, I'm going to share with you our try it at home tip, which is temperature play. I love this for the nervous system. This is one of my favorites. Temperature play is doing things with temperature to regulate your nervous system. Here's one of the easiest ones that I do, and this may not be accessible for you because you might not have this thing in your car. When I feel like, poof, my brain is racing and I'm dysregulated a little bit, I will flip on the heat seat in my car. Even if I live in Phoenix, sometimes it's 120 degrees outside. I still flip that thing on. Sometimes I can't even feel it when it's 120, but it's on. The sensation of heat against my legs. Helps to bring you back to the present. And when you come back into the present, that puts you back in your window of tolerance. So temperature play, like heated seats, can help you to do that. You can also, like if it's again in your car that we hopefully all have, is like turn on the air conditioning really high and just let it blast you in the face. That's a temperature play. Ice, saunas, cold plunges, baths, showers, hot or cold. You know, there's so many options for temperature play. Any form of temperature kind of wakes up your body and like kicks it back into an alert state. So just be mindful. Some of those things can cause stress too, and micro stress is okay because it might get you out of your dysregulated state. But like, for example, I hate the cold. I hate the cold. So I moved to Phoenix. So cold plunging, especially as a female, for me, doesn't work well. It actually causes more like dysregulation and hormonal imbalance for me. That doesn't mean that cold plunging won't work for a male or for a different type of female, but for my body system, that does not help me. It just causes me more mental and physical stress than it does getting me out of that state. But sauna, all in. I will sit in a sauna for 30 or 40 minutes and sweat like crazy, and that works for me. Some people hate that. That like makes them feel like they can't breathe. So they shouldn't do that. So it's finding out what works for you. And that is it for today's episode of Returning to Us podcast. Don't forget our try at home tip, temperature play. If you are looking for more supports in the area of stress, trauma, behavior, the brain, Behavior Hub, it's for you. I do a lot of coaching for schools, teachers, parents, mostly more or less parents these days, around all things stress, trauma, and behavior. There are also courses available, and you can get university credit from the University of Pennsylvania behind those courses. So, if you have any need for more information in that area or arena, thebehaviorhub.com or text me 717-693-7744. Happy to have a conversation. If I can't help you, I can at least send you some resources or someone that might be able to help you. And if you're looking for healing support through like burnout prevention, trauma care, in your workplace, that's Five Ives. Five Ives is the business I created with Jessica Doering to go in and coach organizations as a whole collective, like leadership. If there's a board of directors, like the board, staff, policy, physical space, like we take it the whole organization, the whole business, and work it through our stages of healing so that people don't burn out. They enjoy their jobs. They come back to work. They don't leave the company. And things are happy. The culture completely shifts. So, fiveives.com if you have any interest in learning more about that. Until next episode, I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.